This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All right, we got a pair of tickets we got to give away so we can get back to our Football Friday on G&D and the Commanders and the Ravens in just a couple of minutes. We're taking you up to 6:30 on The Fan. The DMV's football team is a bright future, and it's time for you to plan yours. The exclusive sponsor of this show will help. The law firm Condori and Murad will update your last will and testament or set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Go to kmlawyers.com. Tell them G&D sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We are playing Does Ryan Know It?
It's very simple. Don't care whether you know it or not. That's not the question. Does Ryan? We'll ask the question. You will have a chance to bet on or against Ryan. You'll say, does he know it? Does he not? And if you get two right, we're lowering it to two now, then you get to go to the Caps game.
That's the big development here. You only have to get two in a row to win the prize. In the interest of time, as we are now on to an unplanned second segment to try to give tickets away, does Ryan know it? In the order that they came in, Ken in Bethesda is next. Hello, Ken. How are you?
Doing okay. How about y'all?
Doing very well, man. Well. You know how to play, correct?
I've been listening carefully.
You know what
very
to do.
Good.
Here we go.
All right, so here's the first question I've got. Which legendary American novel features characters Atticus Finch and Boo Radley? Does Ryan know it?
Ryan does not know that.
I mean, we all read it in school. Let's see.
It's been a long time, but I think I know that one.
Legendary American novel, Atticus Finch and Boo Radley. Ryan, what's the book?
Ooh. No idea. I couldn't tell.
What if it was called No Idea? You are correct.
It's To Kill a Mockingbird. Ever heard of that?
Yes, I did read that back in the day.
Attaboy.
Mm-hmm.
I left a lasting impression.
All right, Ken, you got a chance to win right here. Here we go.
This would be quite a development.
Who wrote The Star-Spangled Banner? Who wrote The Star-Spangled Banner? Does Ryan know it?
Ooh, it's a tougher answer, but I'm going to say he does not.
He does not. Beg against Ryan. Ryan, who wrote The Star-Spangled Banner?
It's a tough one. I know it. I don't, though. I'm going to guess. I know it's wrong. Patrick Henry.
What a journey we just went on. I know it. No, I don't.
Ken, you're going to the Caps game.
Oh,
so
man.
Congratulations.
Way to go,
all
Ken.
Right, thank you.
We'll start with that.
Oh, no.
By the way, I had a question that where the answer was Patrick Henry. I didn't ask it.
I want to go back to that real quick. Workshop that answer. Noodle me through that answer.
I don't know it, and that's why I guess Patrick Henry.
You said
Henry.
You knew it.
Because I know
no,
it.
Because
I don't
no,
know it.
I do want to say it's now, it's going to come to me a little bit. It's a female who actually wrote that song.
Is it, though?
Is it?
Is it?
I don't know.
You've now gone from Patrick Henry to a female, right?
No, because I've told you I don't know this.
Okay.
Who is it?
Before we get to that, how did you settle on Patrick Henry as your guess?
He just came to mind.
He came to What? And your first instinct is correct most of the time, right?
I believe the answer is Francis Scott Key.
It was the theme with Baltimore this week, yeah.
That's
who I went with.
Well, Edgar Allan Poe would have been a better one.
For the Baltimore National Anthem?
Who wrote The Raven?
Edgar Allan Poe.
There you go. Francis Scott Key is what you're looking for?
Yeah, I was looking for Francis Scott Key there.
Okay. I love the idea of...
I know it,
I know
I don't.
This one. Well, I don't know this one. Oh, by the way, Patrick Henry.
Oh, that was priceless.
That's a lot of fun. Okay. Thank you, Rhino.
Thank you, Rhino.
As always.
Way to go.
We appreciate you. That was a good time. Hopefully, Ken enjoys himself at the Caps game. For everybody else who participated, we appreciate it. Better luck next time. We'll have Caps tickets throughout the season here on The Fan. Let's get back to our Football Friday, though, and the Commanders and the Ravens. Speaking of the Raven and Edgar Allan Poe up in Baltimore. Danny, the Commanders will beat the Ravens if...
They have a lead. They're prolific early. If they get up on Baltimore, somehow, I mean, it happens. Kickoff return, a busted coverage, long touchdown pass, a defensive touchdown. Something crazy happens where they get a lead and that lead continues. Even if you're going back and forth at some point, the Ravens will be able to stay with their game plan for a while, right? If it's just a one-score game, if it's a 10-point game, et cetera. They know, they feel good about themselves to be able to wear you down and win playing their way. If you make them play not their way, then you got a shot at this thing. If Washington is up by a couple of touchdowns in the second half and it becomes a drop-back game, I like their chances.
If they can be +2 in turnovers and keep Derrick Henry quiet on the ground, I don't know that either of those two things is likely on the road, and it's why I'm not going to pick them to win. But if you were to tell me right now, Washington beat the Ravens, you're looking back in rewind now at this game, I would say, okay, I bet you it's like 3 turnovers for the Ravens and only 1 or 0 for the Commanders. And Derrick Henry was held to sub 4.5 yards per carry. They held him in check. If they do those two things, that's kind of the whole checklist for me. I think it's a tight ball game that comes down to the wire at that point, and it is very, very winnable. But it sounds like you agree with me that the Ravens are better, and you agree with me that this is not a matchup where Washington's defense looks favorable on paper. This is not a game where we should expect them to go out and shove it on Baltimore or look really, really good defensively. I just think you got to make a few plays to cancel out a lot of the bad along the way. It's a chunk yardage playmakers league, so you pick off Lamar, you get a sack fumble, you know, maybe you knock the ball out of Zay Flowers' hand as he's diving for a first down or something. You know, a couple of wacky things happen along the way, and you're right there.
There's a lot of good history on Baltimore's side here in terms of their overall record against the NFC and, you know, their regular seasons when Lamar Jackson plays and a lot of stuff that says that. So I also think, partly from a Washington perspective, is it's not just – we think about this in terms of stocks, right? Like the hockey stick. That's the dream, where it starts off one and then it basically just goes straight up and stays there forever. This is not what happens in pro sports. Like, I know the charmed ride isn't over because you lose a game, but there has to be some kind of setback. The helium that's given us this unbelievable rise from they're going to pick top 5 in the draft to maybe they're number 1 in the power rankings, and Jaden Daniels is the MVP through 5 games type helium that's surrounding this team. There's got to be some moment of adversity, some moment of you got to recover. It doesn't all work out like a fairy tale, right? This isn't a 90-minute movie on the Disney Channel, okay? I think there's a little bit of a setback coming. I think it's fine, by the way. I'm not down on them. I don't sound pessimistic.
But in fairness, I mean, we've kind of had some of those moments. We just don't acknowledge or remember them. And I mean that in a good way, not a bad way.
Like in-game?
Yeah. Like, okay. I thought the Bucs game was not good.
They couldn't
throw the football at all. They were one of the lowest graded passing offenses, and he was one of the lowest graded passers in the league coming out of week one. You know, the first half of the Giants game was awful. If you go back and watch that now, it's like a different offense. He got sacked, I think, 5 times in the first half of that game and kind of what was hemmed into the pocket and hit a bunch. Like, we now don't think about it because that's a long time ago.
Right. Well, they ripped off 4 straight. Week one results are always kind of weird.
I'm
looking at it.
Making like excuse. I'm not poking at him. I'm just saying, like, maybe that was the bad. Like, it's not like it's been all
possible.
Great. Like,
no.
The bad has kind of happened. It's just been a little while. And there's more coming, clearly. It's not going to be linearly awesome the rest of the season. I just mean that I would feel more like there's got to be a bad half. There's got to be a bad performance. There's got to be a dud coming. If they hadn't already happened, we're just focusing on the 85% that's been really, really good.
But I'm not talking about a dud. I'm talking about where, like, it's right now it's charmed life. It's they stub their toe, and it's to bend over and find a $20 bill on
you're
the sidewalk.
You're saying they fumble a snap, and you know they
or just lose a game against a good team. Like that's all I'm talking about. Where this charmed ride, where everything that you do turns to gold, doesn't turn to gold for a week, and you play a competitive game, and you could lose. Like that happens all the time in this league, right? Teams that are good don't beat another team that's good. It's not going to change my view of them or how magical the season already has been to this point. My point is, like, it can't just be elevator on the ground floor, ding, now you're on the roof, here we are at perfect and number one. There's going to be some setbacks. There's got it, like, the momentum's got one balloon's got to pop, but we're still afloat.
So, okay, now, that makes more sense. I misunderstood what you were saying. I thought that the idea was, like, everything's been so good so far offensively that there's no way that there's not basically the bottom falling out coming.
Right.
And I'm just saying, well, it could be, you know, another couple of games before that happens, or it hasn't all been perfect. I mean, we've mixed some of those quarters in, and there've been enough plays that maybe this is what it looks like. If you have a bad half, that the next half's really good and it's good enough to win. But I think you're onto something there. Going into the Bengals game, my argument for why everyone was not giving them enough of a chance, I didn't think they'd win outright, was, if you remember, I kept saying, like, what if Jaden Daniels just has one of those games where he won the Heisman because when he was on national TV, under the bright lights with Kirk Herbstreit on the call or whatever, like when the audiences were the biggest against the best opponents, he balled out. That was the college resume last year. You're playing Alabama, you know, pick the matchup for LSU. He does some of his best work. And my point was, what if he's just one of those guys? What if you just got one of them dudes that just, is this the huge stage, the game everybody cares about? This is your win your Heisman game. Just like the Bengals game was for him. It was the best he's been. What's to say this isn't what he does? That you don't have one of those super special guys that has an incredible performance. Like, what if he's better than he was against Arizona and Cleveland in this game? I thought he was pretty good in both of those games, to really good. Bengals game's been his best game. What if this is his second best game of the year, and that's just what he does? He elevates his game in these spots with everybody watching, with the most anticipated game of the weekend, because he's going head-to-head with Lamar Jackson, and you know those two guys have a chance
to
put
personal
on the show.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right? Yeah,
it happened against Cincy. Why can't it happen again?
Entirely possible. I mean, that's the thing. It's not as if this is the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens defense you're playing against as well. That might lend itself to having a big game. That certainly is the path to winning. You know, like, it's the type of thing where you sort of hesitate this early in his career. At this stage, with Pat Mahomes making whatever he makes and all the different pelts on the wall for him, it's fair to say, Pat, listen, Pacheco's hurt. Rice is hurt. We don't have much. It's got to be you, dude. It's all on your shoulders. And he's like, that's no problem, dog. I'm the MVP multiple times over. We're going to the Super Bowl again. Me try having Coach Reed. Boom, fine. For a guy in his sixth NFL start, it's probably not fair to ask every week. But there may be weeks where you got to be like, listen, dude, you got to be a superhero this week. We're playing a team that, frankly, does what we do and has done it at a high level for a much longer time with a lot more deposits in the bank. So we're chasing this group to be legitimate and well thought of and being top five or six or seven in everybody's power rankings every week. We've had a nice run of four games in a row. They've had a nice set of seasons, five, six in a row now, including a 14-win season, a 13-win season last year. That's what we're trying to get to. So this may be a week where you've got to do a little bit more. That's a little bit extra on the scrambles. Instead of going out of bounds, maybe you cut back that time or die for the end zone that time. I mean, who knows? You can't major in that, I don't think, and keep them healthy. But maybe this is one of those games where you go, yeah, put the cape on, dude.
There is the team version of what I'm saying with Daniels, too, which is maybe they're just better than Baltimore.
That's not crazy either.
Maybe they're just that good. Like, we know they're good.
Mm-hmm.
They're 4-1. They've dominated Cleveland. They've crushed the Cardinals. But maybe they're just elite. I mean, I know that sounds silly, but I think it should be acknowledged or at least thrown out there before we play a game on Sunday here as a town. What if they are just one of the best teams in the NFL?
Yeah.
And the Ravens, we view as like they're going up a weight class and they knock out Baltimore. And we realize they actually are a heavyweight contender. that they could, in any weight class, they could get the strap.
That's of the different.
That good.
Yeah, that's of the different, you know, sort of scenarios and path in this little choose your own adventure book, right? Where that's the best case is none of this stuff is. I'm not arguing it's a mirage, by the way. You got to be good to beat a team, beat a couple of teams in a row that they have. That's not fluky. That's what good teams do. But it's now bona fide. You're real, real good. Not just, oh, that's nice. Good couple of weeks, gang. Neato. And now we're back to normal. There's no regression because they're nasty. Like, they're legit.
Do you guys think that the Commanders beat the Ravens, yes or no? 800-636-1067. And how would Washington beat Baltimore? If we're telling you they pulled it off after the fact, we know this already. How did they do it? 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What a game Sunday shaping up to be for the Commanders and the Ravens. There is a lot of excitement in town. A litmus test opportunity for the 4-1 Commanders to see how they stack up against a team that a lot of people think could make a deep playoff run out of the AFC in Baltimore. Question for you guys is, how do the Commanders beat the Ravens? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Let's hit the phones and go to Mike in Waldorf. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. So, look, our run offense is top five, if I'm not mistaken. Their run defense is top five. Our pass offense is top 10, if I'm not mistaken. And their pass defense is lower ranked in the league. I feel like we come out, pass heavy. Jaden does his thing when he has blitzes coming, gets the moving around, making plays, and we are going to get it done in a big way. I know that does not sound like, you know, the normal talk around town, because I feel like this is more so a challenge for us as well as them defensively. Let me know what you think.
Appreciate
Love
you,
the show.
Dude. Thanks, dude.
Love y'all. Be safe.
Thank you, man. You too. Good, bro. Yeah, it's, I mean, that's the best case scenario. We talked about it before the break, right? Where Washington, like, Baltimore's struggled. There's one really good game on the resume against Buffalo defensively, but nobody has stopped Washington yet. The same way I was saying earlier in the show, nobody stopped Baltimore's running game. And I don't think Washington's the team to do it. Well, flip that. Nobody stopped Washington's offense really since week one, since Jaden Daniels kind of, you know, has grown into this since the second half of the Giants game. And they only stopped themselves in that game, really, when they had nothing, they had no punts and got to the red zone every time, ended up settling for field goals. But lining up and playing, nobody slowed them down. And is this the defense to do it? I mean, I think that's the question for the game, right?
Their running game is their offense, and this is the number one run defense in the league. So I think that's the complicating part for Washington is when we say the Ravens' defense is not that good, that's fair. They're middle of the pack, and they're terrible as a pass defense, 31st out of 32 teams. The penultimate defense in rankings in the entire NFL. But that does not tell the story at the thing you're good at, they are the best at taking away. 60 yards per game on the ground. And it's not like, you know, everybody has been up on them so much, or I should say behind on them so much that they have to, you know, salt the game away or something like that. That's not what we're talking about. I do think some of it is like the Bengals last week never had to run it because they could throw it. The Raiders in the second half with Gardner Minshew ate the Ravens lunch, didn't really have to run the ball because they could throw it. The Chiefs didn't really do a whole lot running the football in the first week because they were able to move the ball with short passes. So maybe Washington is going to be able to do that, and if they run it or not doesn't matter mm-hmm. that much. Let's go to Nick in Prince William. What's up? Nick, you there? He hung up as soon as we went to him.
Unbelievable. Waiting for that exact time, and then he's like, nope, that's all for me.
Let's go Odyssey app style. Let's make the rounds. Callahan in Minnesota. What's good? How are you?
What's up, guys? First off, I have some things I want to list really quickly, but first off, left hand up for both of you guys, Danny, the perfect basketball game I heard, and Grant standing up to those pesky Raven fans earlier in the day. I loved it, dude. Talk your stuff.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, buddy. And thanks for acknowledging my Tuesday night hot ending to pick up basketball. I didn't play great the whole time, but that last game took it upon myself. I took it personal, like Michael Jordan, and helped the team win.
I love it.
Thank you.
You got the tongue out, and you got ice in your veins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have Washington winning 31-24, and how we're going to win is we need to continue to play clean football with minimal penalties like we have the last few weeks. I think that's key. Our O-line needs to keep playing really well. They're not the hogs, but I'm calling them the piglets because they're the baby hogs right now, dude. We need to clog up the holes on defense, and we need another good week of linebacker play. Plus, take some shots down the field with their weak secondary. I think Luke's going to have a killer game. He's leading the league with 81.1% creating separation. And I see him having a touchdown and 65 receiving yards. So, love you guys. Thanks for taking my call and have a nice weekend.
We promised him yesterday if he scored a touchdown, we'd eat chocolate lava cakes for him on Monday. From Chili's.
From Chili's.
Those are where he likes his chocolate lava cakes from. Me and him have that in common. I mean, this past week against Cleveland was the worst it's been for Washington recently in terms of penalties. They had 5 for 30. You would sign up for that sight unseen.
Oh, every time.
Every single week. Because the big ones are the 15-yarders or, you know, the 42-yard pass interference or something like that. 5 penalties for 30 yards. Absolutely, yes, please. Week before that for Washington, when they were out in Arizona, for the second time in as many weeks, they didn't commit a single penalty on offense until the end of the game when it was already out of reach. And then they ended up getting 40-some penalty yards down the stretch, but it was over. It didn't matter. When you and I were in Cincinnati with Darius sitting in the stands watching them just move up and down the field against the Bengals, all game long they had 3 penalties for 28 yards. They have been amazing in that regard. When you go on the road, that's not supposed to happen.
Right.
That's why it was so amazing. In that environment in Cincy that was so loud, like Arizona is not as impressive to me. It's still cool, but that's a neutral site game almost. I mean, the Commanders fans, Redskins fans, you know, whatever you were wearing in the
sure.
stands, it was all burgundy and gold. Luke McCaffrey even told us yesterday, I was like, man, you guys have been great on the road. He's like, I don't really count the Cardinals game. And he's right about
that. Yeah, he's like,
that.
We were away from home, but it wasn't a road game.
It's true. And they were staying, you know, they stayed out there. It wasn't like they flew in and had to get adjusted to the time zone. So to me, this is the second biggest test probably that they will face on the road all year in terms of environment. I'm going to say the Bengals is still one. I could be wrong. Don't you think there's going to be a ton of Commanders fan there? It's just too easy to get there.
You would think so.
Like, so that's why I'm thinking Bengals 1, Ravens 2 in terms of hostility and noise and things like that.
But the stadium will be all abuzz, though, right? Just because there's energy in it, there's a little bit of this local rivalry flavor.
You remember that?
Well, no, I just mean differently. Like, in terms of, how do I try to phrase this? Cincinnati, it's everyone in Cincinnati screaming at you the whole time. For this Baltimore thing, it's going to be like Washington games a lot of times where there's like a 25% opposing fan base that's in there making a little bit of noise and chirping too, and then that'll kind of raise the din.
Definitely.
So it's a different style of noise.
Do you disagree with my point that the Bengals game will be more hostile?
Yes. Let me rephrase. I agree with that point. What you're saying is correct. That's the most hostile. I made it more complicated than it should have been.
Jason's in Miami on the Odyssey app. What's up, Jason?
He hung up too.
Christ almighty, what is going on here?
We're all scuffling.
Guys, we're doing this thing together. It's a big week. It's a football Friday. The local 53 of their biggest game in the regular season since 2012. Bring your A game here down the stretch. Only a couple segments with your pals left this week. We got to leave it on the phone lines here. We leave it on the field today.
We do everything we can so they can do everything they can.
Steve is in Luray on the Odyssey app. What's up, Steve? All right, maybe it's a phone thing. Do we think it's a phone thing?
I don't.
We haven't had a phone issue in like 2 weeks or so.
I think it's people's phones. I don't think it's our phones this time.
Really?
Yeah.
Steve, can you hear me? Going once. Gone. Let's go to Jake in Richmond on Grant and Danny. Jake, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
What's up, Jake?
Hey,
three
evening,
people
guys.
In a row. Hey. It was their phones?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
All right.
Hey, Jake. My phone works just fine.
Go ahead,
Jake. Works just fine. Listen, I think we're overcomplicating this. The Ravens shoot themselves in the foot week after week, especially when they're the heavy favorite at home. They shoot themselves in the foot. I think the last time they really put a whooping on a team at home was the Lions last year. And let's just, you know, make it a Lions problem, not a Ravens success. But we need to take deep shots because these safeties are going to have to respect Jaden, and Austin Ekeler and McNichols are going to eat in the flats. And Cliff Kingsbury, he lives in the flats, man. We're gonna eat these linebackers up. I mean, we're gonna expose their defense because the Bengals exposed their defense big time. Yes, it was a divisional game, but I just don't think the Ravens are as good as everyone says. I just don't think they are.
So I'm gonna come back to that point in a second because you've got somewhat of an advocate in me in that. I do have to take issue with one of his points. He talked about how long it's been since the Ravens just dominated somebody at home. They played the Bills 2 weeks ago in Baltimore and beat them 35-10. And at the time, that was a 3-0 Buffalo team. That was in primetime, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a under-the-lights, night game, standalone, national TV, 3-0 Bills. Baltimore came in 1-2, by the way. I don't want to say their season was on the line. It wasn't.
They needed it.
You fall 1-3, you're in a bad spot. And they manhandled Buffalo. They outgained them 427 to 236. They ran about the same number of plays. The Ravens, 8 yards a play. The Bills, 4 yards a play. I mean, they were twice as good. They ran for 271 on the ground to the Bills' 81 yards. So we'll disagree on them not showing up big home games. I think the opposite is actually true. These are the types of games where they really do a nice job. Now, if you want to tell me you don't think the Ravens are that good, I'm one of the few people, I think, around here, Danny, willing to hear that argument. Because I think that by the end of the year, they will be good. Right now, it's not who you play, it's when you play them. Mm-hmm. I got no problem playing Baltimore this moment. They should have lost to the Bengals last week. They should be 2-3. They lost to the Raiders, collapsing in the fourth quarter. Everyone wants to, you know, give them an award because they almost beat the Chiefs. Everybody almost beats the Chiefs. Nobody does. You don't get something for that. They're not that good offensively, so everyone hangs in games. And by the way, they went on a mad dash. Remember, it was like touchdown,
yeah.
Drive, like a second drive right after that. I mean, that and a cookie will get you a nice snack when you get home from school. I don't care about that. I think they are good. They're not great. They're very beatable. And if the Commanders are excellent, and that is a possibility, if they're just legit awesome, then they might be better than Baltimore. I actually leave that open to possibility more than a lot of people do.
Yeah, so I've been wrong a couple times this year, just sort of thinking back on it. I'm wrong a lot. As you know, I always try to be accountable for it. But where I've thought, okay, this team hasn't played great yet, but we still think of them, or evaluation of them, or their track record says they're going to get going. Cincinnati most specifically, right? For the last several seasons, Cincinnati has started terribly. And then when Burrow's healthy, they get going and rip off a whole bunch of wins, and their offense is really prolific, and they're really, really good. And I thought that's what was going to happen when Washington went to Cincinnati. I, of course, was wrong about that. Now, offensively, they were good, but defensively, they were a hot, buttered mess. I thought similar things as we kind of progressed through. So I'm doing it again. I realize I'm falling into my same trap. I think two discussions about Baltimore. This year's work that they've turned in has not been the usual A work from Baltimore. You know what that looks like, though. And it's they were a year removed where they were the best team in the NFL for probably 4 or 5 months. They beat all comers. San Francisco went out there. They got their butts kicked. Detroit got destroyed by Baltimore. They had a couple weird losses, but for the most part, they were awesome. They were wire to wire the best team in the NFL. Postseason, different story. I'm aware of that. But we're in that normal period where they do what they do, which is win 12, 13, 14 games. Part of my thought for this weekend is, I know I haven't seen it yet, but I've also seen it, right? I'm acting on faith, and you're basically going, that's adorable. The league turns over every year. They lost a bunch of defensive coaches. I'm not speaking for you, but they haven't turned in great work this year. And you keep showing that, and that makes a lot of sense as a case for why this game may turn out the way you think.
800-636-1067 if you want to hop in on the Commanders and the Ravens ahead of Sunday's clash. Who is feeling the most heat in the NFL going into week 6? Whose seats are getting warmer? Coaches, quarterbacks? We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny. Stretch run of Grant and Danny, taking you up to 6:30 on a football Friday. Let's go around the NFL as we get ready for the 6th week of the campaign and try to figure out who's feeling the most heat going into a brand new weekend and slate of games. I'll start off with the New York Jets, brand new coaching situation. Jeff Ulbrich taking over now as their defensive coordinator. He will be their interim head coach. Robert Saleh has been fired. Aaron Rodgers got to be feeling the heat. The story is that their offense is the problem, not their defense, and that he got Robert Saleh fired. Rodgers can't have another dud, and this is a primetime game on Monday Night Football against the Bills. A win and the Jets are in first place, a loss, and if he looks bad, it's 2-4, and I think the pitchforks will be out for him a little bit. The tide is turning in New York on Aaron Rodgers after Saleh got fired, and now there's really not that many more levers to pull other than just acknowledge this guy's not playing well. You handed the organization to him. It blew up in your face last year, and things are spiraling south this year.
Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts for the Philadelphia Eagles, coming off a bye where they've had a bunch of injuries and could be 3-1 or it could also be 1-3, right? They're 2-2, sit kind of smack in the middle, haven't played particularly well. The softest landing spot maybe you could have right now in the NFL, at home against Cleveland. But the pressure's on. You're getting A.J. Brown back. Devontae Smith is coming back too, both, I believe, having practiced in full. So you would think this is as good a landing spot as you can be. You lay a dud now, given the what happened last year with the turnover of the coaching staff, where he was under fire already talking about Sirianni. This could be trouble in paradise, a.k.a. the opposite of paradise, Philadelphia.
Spotlight and heat check on Anthony Richardson. He's got the oblique, limited participant in practice today, questionable for Sunday against Tennessee. I don't really know if he's playing or not. I don't know what the trend is there, what their local media would say. But whether it's this weekend, where he might come back, or next weekend, the heat has to be turned up, I would imagine, on him, as this offense started looking better with Joe Flacco out there. He makes too many bad turnovers, too many mistakes, misses too many easy throws. When he gets back on the field Sunday, or if it's not till next week, fine. I think it's time, man. You got to start showing something. Guys like him, or you want to put Will Levis on the... I think the jury's already been returned on Will Levis at this point. They'll be looking for a quarterback. But regardless, when you're picked as high as Richardson is, you don't get forever to show something. And When you start to see another guy run the offense, see Andy Dalton for Bryce Young, and it looks very different and way more professional, and you can move the football through the air, it's not a good look. Richardson, I think, is feeling some heat at this point.
The Jacksonville Jaguars. It's not exactly George Peterson. It's Doug Peterson, who is in a little bit of a heat lamp situation. Not like the full fire, but like those warmers at the truck stop, Roy Rogers, just off the turnpike. You know what I'm talking about, right? He's keeping that Frisco bacon cheeseburger warm. He and Trevor Lawrence, at some point, good quarterbacks play good. That's all I'm saying. It hasn't happened really this year for Trevor Lawrence and company, and Doug Peterson and company are scuffling. They got the Chicago Bears this weekend. They need a win to have a season. If you're 1-5, now it's update your resume time.
Who's feeling the heat in the NFL in week 6 on Grant and Danny? How about Drake May making his first career start? And he'll be under siege, probably. Best pass rushing team in the league in terms of pressure rate, the Texans. Worst pass protection team in the league in terms of pressures allowed, the Patriots. And it's his debut. There's not a whole lot more pressure that you can face than doing it for the first time. The entire fan base watching. Everyone's going to be declaring what they think of you based on what you do over these four quarters. We went through this in week 1 with Jaden Daniels. Every rookie goes through it. But finally, Drake May gets to start. It's going to be a tough matchup for him in the 1-4 Patriots. Pressure is on, and the heat is on him.
Justin Fields. His days as a starter in Pittsburgh might be numbered, right? I mean, it's not exactly what we're thinking of, but maybe it is for him specifically. Pittsburgh is so pedestrian on offense. They are boring. They stink. They make me sad in a way to watch them play offense. But defensively, they're really, really good. They have a Super Bowl caliber defense again and the dumbest, grossest offense that exists. So Justin Fields is trying to hold off Russell Wilson. Maybe we're not a chance to do so.
Well, what is their offense exactly?
Okay. Like you can picture it. It's like meeting. It's like, Steelers, what'd you guys bring about the offense? And it's like, the quiet one. Yeah, it's like gross.
It's not a good offense. Follow me through this one.
Gotcha.
I don't know if this one plays. I think Spencer Rattler's feeling the heat a little bit. Here's what I mean. It's an amazing opportunity. He's starting. Now, again, this is not hot seat like he could be benched. But if you're Spencer Rattler and you go out and ball against the Bucks, do you have a chance to play your way into a starting role the rest of this year over Derek Carr? I mean, you certainly have a chance to be thought of as the future quarterback, even if because of money they put Carr back out there in the second half of the season. But at least if you look good in this game, you get two of them. If you look good against the Broncos, I think it is, on Thursday Night Football coming up, you play two solid football games. You know what they're going to be saying in New Orleans, where our buddy Christian is at Brennan's right now, serving some delicious food. Everyone's going to be saying, we got our guy. Let's move on from Carr this offseason. But if he comes out and stinks the joint up, throws a bunch of picks, gets sacked a bunch, just doesn't look good, not necessarily going to be fair to him, but I don't think there's going to be any kind of urgency to turn things back over to him. You're not going to be clamoring for him down the stretch to the same extent. You might not be advocating as a mid-round pick that you don't need to go get a quarterback because you got Spencer Rattler. I just think there's a lot on the line for his standing within the fan base. Anytime you get to show out for the first time. So I'm going to put the rookie, just like Drake May, as feeling the heat because you're trying to get off to a fast start.
The Bengals are at a crossroads. Shout out Bone Thugs and Harmony. Zach Taylor, Joe Burrow. They're 1-4, dude. Do you want to have a season this year? It's up to you. What would you like to have? Do you want to have a season, or do you want to have this be just a lost cause? You sell everybody at the trade deadline and we'll come back and figure it out next year. Because they're 1-4 playing the Giants on the road. Now, the Giants are not good, but they're also not that terrible either. They could mess around and beat you if you're not careful. The Bengals very easily could be 1-5 to start their season and pretty much cooked dead in the water. A lot of pressure right now, all of a sudden, for a group that a lot of folks thought had Super Bowl aspirations.
That's who's feeling the heat in the NFL this weekend on Grant and Danny. By the way, Daniel Jones been playing a little better. We were talking about that. Mm-hmm. I think he gets Malik Nabers back this weekend as well. Darius Slayton. Malik Nabers is out again?
He is officially out, correct.
What on earth? He just came back to practice, and they said he was trending in the right direction.
He catch too many balls, his hands get hurt?
Oh, so he has a concussion. He missed a game. Then they had a bye week. So he's going to be out 3 weeks with a concussion? That's what we're doing? It must have had a pretty serious concussion. You don't see that very often.
Mm.
Well, I stand corrected. All right, they don't get Malik Nabers back. So it's a lot more Darius Slayton and Wandell Robinson. But they have not slowed down. They beat the Seahawks. They hung with the Cowboys. They beat the Browns. They've been playing all right. G&D on the Fan. We'll give you our confidence points picks next. We will give you our commander to lock in on and make our final game predictions for Commanders Ravens. Also give you a preview of what is maybe the best sports weekend of the fall to date here when we return on Grant and Danny.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.